crawl out from under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meathead.
What are you looking at, you hockey puck?
Hey. Good morning and welcome to the midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. I am Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observations, insight, and absurdity. And hopefully we're going to have some fun today. And I hope you're doing well wherever you may be. And wherever or whenever you may be listening. Whether you're on the Facebook live stream or you are somewhere along the line listening via podcast. It's good to have you here. Thank you so much for playing along as we work our way through this day of craziness. I got to tell you, every day when I look at the news, I wonder when people are going to catch on. When are people going to understand that right now in Washington, D.C., we have a rather large group of people who have made it their business. They've made it their livelihood to hoodwink America. It is their entire purpose in life. It's what they do. They are just there to keep playing this game with the people, putting on episode after episode of political theater, posturing in front of the TV cameras, and literally driving the bus we're all on into the ditch. Because everything they do makes the situation in America worse. And when we, as a people, elect someone that we believe can correct the course, many of them work as hard as they possibly can, both in public and in private, to undermine and remove that person. This is what we're watching happening in Washington, D.C. right now. And it is not just the Democrats. It's also the Republicans. There are those in the Republican Party who have been so deeply entrenched in their own version of this ideology that their hatred for our president almost can't be measured. And their dedication to certain certain ideals blinds them to seeing that he actually is making a positive difference and he is doing something good for America. I recently was chatting with a friend who appreciates what our president's doing, but has reservations about his moral shortcomings. And that reminded me that there are a lot of evangelical Christians today who have issues with Donald Trump and question, how can you as a believer, an evangelical Christian, how can you support this man who has apparently no moral compass? Well, I'm looking at what he's doing right now, not what he did in the past. I'm looking at what he's doing today, not what he did 12 years ago. I'm looking at the job performance. And because of his job performance, I will continue to support the man. Because he made promises when he was campaigning, and he is doing everything he can to fulfill those promises. It has been an uphill battle, because he has had not only Democrats, but Republicans fighting against him, because they love their situation. They love the way the game has been played so much more than they love the prospect of actually fixing the problems that they're fighting, and they're fighting hard. So I don't support Donald Trump. I don't stand behind the man because of who he was in the past. I stand behind him because of what he's doing today. Yeah, he makes me a little uncomfortable now and then. He He trash talks like he did yesterday talking about Joe Biden. But honestly, the only way I can look at that is it's gamesmanship. He is trash talking his opponent. And proper politicians, people who are presidential, just don't do that. You're exactly right. They don't. And that's why this country has been going down the drain for so long. Because proper presidential candidates have not stood up and called a spade a spade. They have not stood up and pointed at what's wrong and let people know these people are crooks and they're doing you wrong. They haven't done that because they've been conditioned to be proper and presidential. As I told my wife during the election, during the campaign, I said, you know what? They're saying a lot of nasty things about this guy. And the way I look at it is he's a street fighter. And right now in Washington, D.C., there are gangs running the country. And we need a street fighter in the presidential chair. We need somebody there who knows how to deal with crooks. And if anybody knows how to deal with crooked people, it's a guy who had to do business in the city of New York and the state of New York for all these years. As I told this friend as we were chatting, this guy had to deal with the mob because the mob controlled labor. This guy had to deal with New York politicians who may as well be the mob. So he knows how to deal, and he's also had dealings with Washington politicians who may as well be the mob. So he's not going into this blindfolded. He knows what he's gotten into, and he's doing a job. I base my judgment on the man on his job performance. Not on the polls, not on what people say about him, not on other people's opinions of him because he may have been crude a dozen years ago in talking with somebody. But because of what he's doing now. And how can I do this? How can I not be offended? Because I know what I was years ago. I'm not the man I used to be. I know that I get up every day with a different outlook on life and a path to walk every day that I didn't have years ago. So if you wanted to judge me by who I was years ago, you would be making a grave mistake. I know that's true of my life. It's probably true of yours. Actually, it's definitely true of yours because you are not the same person you were even a year ago. Definitely not 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You have learned things, you have grown, you have changed. Things in your life have changed your course, whether it be an encounter with God, whether it be just learning some hard life lessons, you're not the same person you were. So to judge you by who you were 10, 12, 15 years ago is also a mistake. And to apply that standard to the man in the Oval Office today is as equally short-sighted. That's why I can say that. And I've tried to make that observation with certain people, and they just won't listen. They won't have it. They point to the way he trash talks, the things he says, like he talked about Joe Biden yesterday. So, yeah, he's the dumbest of the lot. He's just dumb. Well, he's trash talking. It's just how he plays the game. And the way he plays the game is not the proper presidential way that the gamesmen in D.C. want the game to be played. And so they don't like him. And that dislike comes from both sides of the aisle because he's making all of them uncomfortable, primarily because he's pulling back the curtain. He's saying and doing things that makes them react rather than thoughtfully respond. And when they react, we see them for who they really are. And I think that's a very, very good thing for America at this particular point in time. Something that's not good for America are the people who are running against our president for the 2020 election. If you look at their track records, if you look at what they have done, you'll see most of them have done nothing. They make some claims, but substantially, substantively, they haven't done anything. They've made some amazing promises. They've talked about what they're going to do. They're going to correct the course of the nation. They're going to repeal the tax cuts, which have energized our economy. They're going to change everything that's been done that's put millions of people back to work again and provided more jobs than there are people looking for jobs. They're going to reverse all of that. And one of those candidates, one of them, believe it or not, has promised he's going to cure cancer. Yes, Joe Biden issued a lofty promise during a campaign speech in Iowa yesterday. Quote, "I promise you, if I'm elected president, you're going to see the single most important thing that changes America is we're going to cure cancer." He said these words to supporters at a rally in Ottumwa, Iowa. Joe Biden yesterday spoke before about 200 people. This is the front runner for the Democrats. The one the polls, the polls say is going to defeat Donald Trump. Spoke to 200 people. If Donald Trump goes somewhere, he speaks to thousands. Ottumwa, Iowa. Isn't that where Radar O'Reilly was from in MASH? Well, Biden's son, Bo, died of brain cancer on May 30th of 2015. As you remember, that was his excuse for not running for president then. That was his reasoning. Understandably so. Biden led the Obama administration's cancer moonshot effort in 2016 to find a cure for cancer. He and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, launched the Biden Cancer Initiative in July 2017. The Bidens stepped down from their board positions April 25th after Biden announced his run for president. Biden does lead a field of 23 Democrats in presidential polls. He assailed President Donald Trump during his speech in Iowa, especially on the issue of tariffs against China. As I told you yesterday, tariffs are a negotiation tool. You tell people what you want. When they ignore you, you tell them, this is what we want, and if you don't do it, this is what we'll do. And then if they ignore you, you do what you said you would do. And then if they ignore you, you level up and do more. And once you've gotten their attention, you sit down and come to an agreement and drop the punishment. That's how negotiation is done. Oh, really? You don't like $20? How's 25? You're just bluffing. 30, then 30 it is. Now, wait a minute. 35? You want to pay 35 for that? Okay, wait a minute. Can we talk? It's how negotiation is done. When you are a hardball negotiator, you don't play softball like proper presidential politicians. You play hardball. Trump said, I'd rather run against, I think, Biden than anybody. I think he's the weakest mentally, and I like running against people that are against Biden. You know, that's just trash talk. It's trash talk. And that's how a winner plays the game. A proper politician, not so much. But a winner and a leader, yeah. They'll trash talk because that's how you win the game instead of just playing the game. And that's what Donald Trump is doing. As I said, I don't judge the man based on who he was and what he did years ago. I judge him on what he's doing now. And what he's doing now is what he promised us he would do when he was running for the office. Well, as much as he can get done, as people stand against him at every turn, because they like the game the way it used to be played. Still to come, what's happening on the border? And that private group that was building their own wall. We'll take a look at that after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues.
Publicity, that's what you need, or else you're just going to be another babbling voice.
Oh, okay. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective podcast. Good to have you along. Hey, don't forget, you can access the podcast a half a dozen different ways. You can go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it through Google Podcasts. You can get it from you can get it from Spotify and from SoundCloud as well. And, of course, at markandmaxshow.com. So there's like half a dozen different ways you can tap in and grab the podcast on a daily basis. I would encourage you to subscribe. Go ahead today. Go to iTunes or Google Podcasts or any of the other sources and click that subscribe button and have the thing delivered to you every day. So you can listen whenever and wherever you may happen to be. Curing cancer. I've heard a lot of presidential campaign promises over the years. In my 60 plus years, I've heard a lot of campaign promises. I have never heard anyone say they were going to find a cure for cancer if they were elected president. I'm almost dumbfounded that someone could actually step to a microphone before a little group of people, 200 people, and claim that they were going to find a cure for cancer. Elect me president so we can cure cancer. That's essentially what he's saying. If you want to cure cancer, you got to elect me. Wow. Just flipping wow. That's all I can say. That either takes a lot of nerve, that either takes stones or stupidity. That's really the only way I can put it. That's either stones or stupidity. Oh my gosh, I'm voting for the second. Well, back to the border. The builders of that private border wall in New Mexico, they've been through a couple of stumbles, as you recall. They had private funding, got on the program, started building, then got shot down because they didn't get the right permits. They corrected that quickly, and I will credit the local government for helping them because they expedited things so they could get their permits in line and get back to work quickly. And now they've hit another interesting twist. They've been ordered by an international agency to keep that gate open, a gate that's in their wall. They have to keep it open permanently. According to a report in BuzzFeed, let me stop here. BuzzFeed is not the most trustworthy source for accurate information. Okay? They're the ones who broke the story about Trump in Russia and all of that. They were eager. So take that with a grain of salt. But it's coming from BuzzFeed, and there's some substantiation. This half-mile wall near Sunland Park cut off official access to a levee and a dam and public access to Monument One. That's a series of obelisks marking the U.S.-Mexico border. The We Build the Wall barrier also featured a gate built on about 33 feet of federal property without proper advance permission. Lori Kuzmansky, a spokeswoman for the International Boundary and Water Commission, these are the folks who handle waterway issues between the U.S. and Mexico, said, "This is normally done well in advance of a construction project. They think they can build now and ask questions later, and that's not how it works." Can I just say, I think these guys were really smart to build first and then ask for forgiveness, because If they had actually gone through the process, they wouldn't have started building yet, because some bureaucrat somewhere would have handed it off to another bureaucrat who would have handed it off to another bureaucrat, and it would have been a year, two, three, or never. Commission officials propped the gate open in response earlier this week to preserve public access and, by extension, making the wall easy to breach. Ms. Kuzmanski told BuzzFeed, quote, "We're going to lock it in an open position until we come to a mutual decision on how this gate is going to operate." The president and founder of We Build the Wall, Brian Kolfage, accused the panel of legal overreach and of complicity in an illegal immigrant invasion of the U.S. He said, "The IBWC commissioner has had a bad habit, has a bad habit of leaving gates open on our border. Last week, she left open this gate, largest invasion on record. 1,000 crossed at once. She just locked our gate wide open for illegals to invade America." He wrote this on Twitter, accompanied by a video of a gate in an existing section of wall being open and illegals, 1,000, crossing right through it. He goes on to say the IBWC is a fine example of overreach and growing too big. They are overstepping DHS, national security experts, and undermining Donald Trump as soon as they locked our gate open. We noticed many other gates around El Paso just opened up. They're planning for mass invasion. In a statement to The Hill, Mr. Kolfage predicted that the dispute with the Water Commission is about to be fully resolved in our favor. I hope so. I really do hope so. A gate is meant to be opened and closed. Gates, traditionally, remain closed until someone seeks passage through said gate, at which point someone grants or denies permission. This is as simple as the gate to your backyard. Somebody wants to come into your backyard. They ask you, "Hey, do you mind if I come in your backyard?" "Sure, just open that gate and come on in." "Wait a minute, let me get the key. I got it padlocked." There's a process. You don't lock gates open unless you want free traffic through that gate and you don't care who comes and goes. And that's what's going on here. As this guy says, when this happened to them, they started looking around and noticed that a lot of gates that had been closed all of a sudden were open. And he suspects something fishy is going on. And I do not disagree. There are bureaucrats in our system, from the bottom all the way to the top, who are open borders advocates. They are, well, they want to eliminate all borders, actually. They just want to allow anyone to come and go as they please and refuse to acknowledge that everywhere this has been done has been disastrous. It's resulted in dissolving nations. And we've learned here that sometimes you have to close the borders completely, and sometimes you actually have to stop immigration completely, because it takes time for people who emigrate here to assimilate and become part of our culture, bringing the strengths of their culture with them, because we value that. But it takes time. There was a point in our history where we didn't accept anybody for 25 years. Because after World War II, there was a flood of refugees that came to America, a flood of people who came here seeking to get away from the oppression they lived under where they had been, looking for a better life. They came through Ellis Island, were processed, and came to America, and then we closed the door to give them an opportunity to become part of us. Because if they're not coming here to be part of us, They're coming here for the wrong reasons. And these people are not coming here to be part of us. They're coming here because they've been assured that if they come here, they get free goodies. They get health care. They get checks from the government. They get taken care of. And right now, on YouTube and in social media, there are instructions for these people telling them exactly how to get here and what to say when they get here to assure that they can get through our weak system and then never have to report anywhere again unless they get caught. And even if they do get caught in a sanctuary area, they have nothing to worry about. So right now, we have a system that's very broken. It's very broken. And it's been broken by liberals who refuse to acknowledge the fact that when immigrants come to America, we love and appreciate them. And we want them here as long as they come here through the front door and they come here to be one of us. They want to be Americans. And what's happening on our southern border right now is not that. What's happening on our southern border, I know this sounds a bit extreme, but it's an invasion. We're seeing people from Africa come across our southern border now. We're seeing people from the Middle East come across our border now. We're seeing people from around the world coming through our southern border. Not because they want to be Americans. Why are they coming here?
I so hope criminals are not listening to this.
Welcome into the Daily Perspective. Welcome back. Mark Congleton, your humble host here. Sometimes humble. I was just looking over at the comments on the Facebook Live stream, and the comment section pops up little balloons when people drop in. They don't necessarily comment, but it lets you know when people drop in to listen. And one of those that I saw here was I just saw that old friend Rusty Mace has joined in. Good morning, Rusty. Good to see you. Hope things are good where you are. Rusty worked with Dave and with me and Dave when we were at 93.7 in Birmingham. And we did mornings. Rusty did afternoons. And he's a crazy guy, very creative. And now he seems to be staying very, very, very busy doing audio and video work for groups who do public or get-togethers for conferences and things like that. I've been watching your stuff on seeing what you've been doing on Facebook, Rusty, and I'm glad you're staying busy because I hadn't got bail money. It's a Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective. Just to answer what you're probably wondering, Rusty, where's Dave? Well,
Dave's not here.
Yeah, he's just not here. This is my little thing that I do every day because I don't have bail money. It is a Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective, and it's good to have you along. Have you registered? I'm a professional. I speak for a living. Have you registered yet for the Daily Perspective newsletter? Just go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com, go to the right-hand column, fill out the form, answer affirmatively to the confirmation email, and you'll get all of the links to the stories that I use to talk about things during the morning, plus the stuff I don't get to. And sometimes there's more in the bonus section than there is in the stuff I get to talk to, just because of the way things turned out. And there are going to be a handful of stories today that you'll want to see. Plus, as I mentioned yesterday, in those stories, there are links that help you jump off to other places. They will refer to stories from other publications, which get into different and deeper detail. And that different and deeper detail is extremely important for you to know what's really going on, as opposed to the sound bites that you're being presented by CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of the Alphabet News networks. So get signed up today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and get signed up. Now, there are a lot of people running for president on the Democrat side of things, 23, 24 people. There's just a bunch of people in the clown car, and one of those is Kirsten Gillibrand. She was in an interview with the Des Moines Register, and she told them that holding a pro-life viewpoint is not acceptable. She was answering a question about having a litmus test for judges and compared pro-lifers to racists and anti-Semites. So if you are a pro-lifer, if you are someone who understands the truth and values the life of the unborn, and you recognize the fact that the unborn are people, they're not just blobs of tissue, they're not just an inconvenience you can get over with the help of Planned Parenthood, they're people. If you are one who understands science and realizes that the reason the human race continues to exist is because those people are allowed to be born, then you're being compared with racists and anti-Semites. Here's what she said. I think there's some issues that have such moral clarity that we have as a society decided that the other side is not acceptable. Imagine saying that it's okay to appoint a judge who's racist or anti-Semitic or homophobic. Asking someone to appoint someone who takes away basic human rights of any group of people in America, I don't think that those are political issues anymore. And we believe in this country in the separation of church and state, and I respect the rights of every American to hold their religious beliefs true to themselves, but our country and our Constitution has always demanded that we have a separation of church and state. And all these efforts by President Trump and other ultra-radical conservative judges and justices to impose their faith on Americans is contrary to our Constitution, and that's what this is. And so I believe that for all of these issues, they are not issues that there is a fair other side. There is no moral equivalency when you come to racism, and I do not believe there is a moral equivalency when it comes to changing laws that deny women reproductive freedom. Gillibrand, who barely registered in the Register poll last weekend, is obviously trying to get attention. Does she really believe that pro-life equates in any way to racism? Or is this a ploy to boost her campaign? One look at a recent Gallup poll will show that a steady 50% of Americans believe abortion should be illegal in most circumstances. About 30% believe abortion should be legal in all instances. Obviously, the pro-choice position favored by most in the pro-life movement is perfectly acceptable and completely in the mainstream. But this isn't about what's acceptable or mainstream. This is an effort to marginalize and demonize those who disagree with the truly radical position on abortion supported by Gillibrand and most Democrats. Simply declaring that anti-abortion views are the same as racist views is ludicrous, not to mention deliberately disingenuous. As for conservative judges imposing on us their views on morality, as soon as liberal judges stop doing the same, then perhaps Gillibrand would have a case. And the notion that any Democrat elected president in 2020 wouldn't strive to appoint judges seeking to impose their own moral code on this country is a lie. And she knows it. What I love about what she said, and when I use the word love, I mean hate. What I love about what she said is that she says our country has always demanded that we have a separation of church and state. Yes. The reason was that we didn't want politicians like her dictating who we could worship, when we could worship, where we could worship, and what was acceptable as worship. That was the purpose. Not to prevent people of faith from expressing that faith in the public forum or in government. In fact, those who wrote our founding documents, who stood up to create this country, in their writings acknowledged that they were pleased that churches were using government buildings in cities in this new country as meeting places until they could find their own or build their own. So, Kirsten Gillibrand is basically preaching a lie, but she's preaching to her choir. She knows who her support is, and she knows what they want to be true. It isn't necessarily true, but it's what they want to be true. As I've said before, you can believe whatever you want to. It doesn't necessarily mean what you believe is true. You can believe whatever you want, but like I said, you can believe you're a car. Here's a hint. You ain't a car. And she knows that. Bless her heart. God love her. Oh my gosh. This twisted worldview is not just coming from politicians. It's coming from the tech world as well. Project Veritas. There's an article here on projectveritas.com, and you'll get this entire article and everything that goes with it if you subscribe to the newsletter. Project Veritas has received and published documents from an insider at Pinterest. The documents, which include product code, Slack messages, internal policies, they reveal items and websites that Pinterest apparently is censoring. In that interview, the Pinterest insider who leaked the documents explained how the company censors pro-life and Christian content on their website. James O'Keefe, the founder of Project Veritas, said, "The documents we obtained raise questions about whether or not these tech companies really operate like neutral platforms as opposed to publishers with editorial agendas." Pinterest is a publicly traded social media company. They're headquartered in San Francisco. They have nearly 300 million active monthly users. In the past, Project Veritas released undercover footage of Twitter employees discussing shadow banning and also published leaked documents from Facebook, which revealed plans to target and demote conservative commentary. Somebody happened to notice that liveaction.org, a pro-life group, was blocked. The Pinterest insider said in an interview, "I was pretty surprised when they discovered a pro-life group, the pro-life group at liveaction.org was added to a block list of porn domains." The insider explained that the block list was intended to be a collection of pornographic websites that Pinterest uses in order to ensure that pornography cannot be posted. Liveaction.org is not a pornographic website. Instead, it is the web domain of a prominent pro-life advocacy group. The insider explained that websites on a domain block list cannot be linked in posts made by users. While investigating, Project Veritas tried to post the liveaction.org link on Pinterest and failed to do so. They received an error message that read, "Sorry, your request could not be completed." Project Veritas reviewed the list of websites from the porn domain block list and was able to confirm that along with liveaction.org, websites like zerohedge.com, pjmedia.com, teaparty.org, and other various conservative websites were also listed. The majority of the document, though, does list pornographic websites. There's more to this story. It's coming after the break when the Daily Perspective continues.
He does everything possible to give you what you want. And what a problem this can be.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. I want to pick back up where we left off. We were talking about what Project Veritas has discovered about Pinterest and how they are blocking conservative websites and content posted from conservative websites on their forums because, well, they're based in San Francisco and they see the world through liberal lenses. Lila Rose, the founder and president of Live Action, claims that her organization has been censored in the past and believes that pro-life organizations are unfairly targeted by social media companies. She says, Pinterest says that their mission is to help empower people to discover things that they love. But despite the fact that millions of people love babies and the pro-life cause, they are secretly censoring our life-affirming messages. Pinterest users deserve to know the truth, and our messages deserve to be treated fairly. Another document Project Veritas reviewed shows code that reads the following. Mem, M-E-M, add, and in brackets, liveaction.org, end quote. The insider explains that this code, which according to the document was committed to the porn domain block list on February 13th, 2019, added liveaction.org to the block list. The code was apparently committed by Megan McClellan. She works on Pinterest's trust and safety team. On May 29th of 2019, Jeanette Germay, a Pinterest employee on the company's trust and safety team, discusses liveaction.org's inclusion on the porn domain block list. She says, I do not think liveaction.org should be removed, even though Pinterest is not currently removing pro-life, pro-choice content. Project Veritas also received a large text file titled Sensitive Terms List. The insider said the file contains search terms that Pinterest considers sensitive, and that the terms are modified in search results according to different value assignments. According to the insider and supporting documents, terms are assigned an abusive, sensitive, and brand unsafe value. Some of the actions that can be taken on the search terms include blocking autocomplete results in the search bar, providing an advisory message when a term is searched for, removing the term from recommended or trending feeds, and blocking email or push notifications. Search results are also modified based on the values that are applied to terms. Wow. So, even if something they disagree with is trending, the majority of people are excited about it, it won't show up. Project Veritas reviewed the sensitive terms list and discovered that Christianity-related terms like Christian Easter and Bible verses were marked as brand unsafe. The insider explained to Project Veritas in an interview that such terms are removed from autocomplete search results. The word Christian is blocked from their autocomplete thing. If you type in C-H-R-I, you won't get Christian as an option in autocomplete. Another document Project Veritas received was a screenshot from an internal Slack channel at Pinterest where public policy and social impact manager Ifeoma Ozoma instructed others to monitor the platform for white supremacist content from individuals like conservative commentators Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens. By the way, in case you didn't know, Candace Owens is a black female. 3 days after Ozoma's message, the terms Ben Shapiro Muslim and Ben Shapiro Islam were added to the sensitive terms list. Wow. The insider explained to Project Veritas that in addition to removing content it wants to censor, Pinterest also hides materials from users on their home screens and search results. The insider added that there is also silent removing, which means the content is removed, but there's no notice to the account who posted the material that it was removed. In a document titled AC Privilege Conspiracy Doc, which the insider said lists various conspiracy theories that Pinterest monitors, Project Veritas noticed the listing of David Dilyden / Planned Parenthood. The description of the item reads, quote, undercover at Planned Parenthood to expose their sale of fetal remains, end quote. The insider believes the record refers to the undercover video investigation conducted by David Dilyden, which allegedly shows Planned Parenthood executives discussing the sale of fetal tissue for profit. Those undercover videos prompted various investigations and legal actions across the country. Pinterest Insider explained that the company removes conspiratorial content that they deem to be harmful to the platform. Whew. The insider said, I think when public policies don't match with how social media companies are actually implementing them, people have a right to know. People have a right to that transparency. And the thing is, one person can make all the difference. One person can bring transparency to big tech. Project Veritas is still working on this. They're still digging. They're still trying to expose. They won't get much traction, though, from the mainstream press, because the mainstream press hates Project Veritas and is trying to destroy them by giving them zero coverage, unless it's negative coverage. But what Project Veritas has uncovered here is that a social media platform, one that is loved primarily by women everywhere, Pinterest, is censoring their content and is heavily biased against you because you are conservative, you are a person of faith, probably, and you don't represent what they believe, and they see you as a threat. And this is also happening at Facebook and at Twitter and at other social media platforms. The deck is being stacked actively against us, against regular, normal, rational, reasonable, honest people, because we refuse to conform to fantasy. We refuse to conform to the belief that someone can just choose to be a different gender. We refuse to conform to the opinion that what's happening inside of a pregnant woman's body is not the growth of a human being or a person, but it's a lot like a cancer and can be removed if you so choose to. We refuse to believe things like that. And so these liberally controlled social media environments are stacking the deck against us because we don't agree with them on issues like that. People say the answer is that conservatives need to build their own social media. It's been tried. It's been tried again and again and again. And every time it's been tried, it's dried up and blown away. It sits unused. It's failed. Right now, there is and this is something I've talked about before, there is a social media platform called Gab, G-A-B. It is a First Amendment-based social media platform. And I joined several months ago just to keep an eye on it, quite honestly. I'm really not very active. I post a little something now and then. I posted, I think, 2 comments in the past week, and it's the first time I've been on in a long time. Simply because I follow the founder of Gab on Twitter, and I see him posting from time to time, and he got me interested in something. So I went over to have a look. Gab as a basic tenet of their operation, does not believe in censoring any kind of speech. That's true First Amendment mentality. When you censor speech, you remove that from the public forum, then you don't allow people to see how other people think. And you don't allow people to make their own decisions. And you act as their conscience. You act as their brain. And you take that power away from them. More information is better than less information. And social media sites like Pinterest and Facebook and Twitter are operating on the less information is better platform. They believe it's their job to police everything so that you will not be exposed to what they disagree with. And that goes against the grain of everything Americans believe and stand for. We believe in freedom. We believe in liberty, even when it's unpleasant and we disagree with it. Because we like to make our own decisions about what we believe. And those who disagree with us think they're better. And I think it's time to go. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.